Is there a one for you? There is. And who is she? Very good. We need to know what she looks like, what she acts like, what she behaves like, what she wants from you, what she expects from you, how you should treat her, how she expects to be treated. We're coming from Titus today, and there's some good scriptures in there. We're going to come from our personal experience, and we're going to figure out, how do you know if she is the one for you? Welcome to and welcome back to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast, where two people are in marriage are better than one because they get a good reward for their labor. And if one would fall, the other one would be there to pick them back up. I'm Ronald Corsi Jr.
And I'm Chelsea Corsi, and we're still married.
Today we are talking about how to know if she's the one. Mm-hmm. And if people really knew us, Chelsea, they would know how I knew you were the one. Do you know how I knew you were the one, Chills?
No.
We were at the Glenn Lewis show at Warm Daddy's.
This is oh, where God.
We were performing with Glenn Lewis. God bless her. She was singing background. I was playing keys. That's funny. I wasn't even back when I was doing secular gigs, I guess.
We're doing secular.
Well, you probably were doing more than me because I wasn't really doing secular gigs.
Like that probably was the first secular gig I had ever done.
That was probably my only one.
I just sung in church.
Literally, the two Glenn shows were probably my only ones.
Yeah.
Other than like weddings.
Yeah, and I've never
sung
at a wedding.
That's not really secular to me.
Yeah. No, that was the only secular gigs I've ever done.
Imagine that. So we're just holding
it. I was just
in the
studio recording secular music.
Ah, that's a whole other thing.
Yes.
Yeah. I've done that many times.
Yeah.
So I've recanted. I recant on what I just said. But we were recording. She was a cutie by that time. And, you know, I was like, I think I was interested by that time. This was November 7th, day after my birthday.
By that time, I became a cutie.
Yes. No, you do. Okay.
By that time.
That's not what I meant.
I know.
By that time, I was interested. And when she took her shoes off and I saw that she had these cute feet, I was like, well, clearly she's the one at that point. At that point, you know, she was cute in the face and then her feet was cute. I was like, all right, well, sign me up.
That's so funny.
Sign me up, Chelsea. It's time for us to be
together. I feel like I don't really often see bad feet on a woman.
Well, because prayerfully, she is knowledgeable enough to never show her feet on any occasion. Beach, no.
Okay.
Swim shoes.
Out here with, okay.
Swim shoes on. Swim heels on.
That is funny.
Closed toe heels. Flats. And not flat.
It's hard to have bad feet without just straight up not taking care of your feet, which is typically a man thing.
Certainly.
If it's going to happen at all. Because some men do take care of their feet.
Yeah, some.
But I feel like if you're going to find an untaken care of foot, it will typically belong to a man.
An unkempt foot.
Yeah.
Yes, it will be a man's foot, and it will be unacceptable.
That is so funny. Which I've never even been, like, I'm not, like, pedicures person. Like, I've never consistently gotten my nails done.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Not consistently. And I don't do, like, a bunch of stuff at home.
Mm-hmm.
I just wash my feet and lotion them.
Amen.
So, you know.
Washing feet.
That's basically it. Like, that's as long as you use the washcloth, you wash your feet, and there's a little exfoliation there. So it may not be totally without roughage, but if you at least use a washcloth on your foot, man, and then lotion it.
That's how you know. It was the feet, Chelsea. All the cute feet.
That is so funny.
And that was it. No, that's the all. No.
How did you really know, Ron?
How did I really? I was thinking about it. Like, how did I really know? And I would like to actually give a more detailed answer,
mm-hmm,
in that, because you know my philosophy to a successful marriage or a successful relationship, not necessarily a marriage. But I was thinking, what was the thing that put it over the top? Like, what was that extra thing?
Where you were like, I'm in, like, I want her.
No, I'm not even talking.
Or I want to marry her.
She's supposed to be the one for me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Not like I want to marry, because I already wanted to marry you. And, like, loved you and, you know, thought you were sexy and, you know, wanted to see you and you know,
okay.
Okay. But, you know, that was already there, you know, but that's not necessarily enough, right? Because I can have that with anybody.
Right.
But what is that extra thing? So let me break it down, Chelsea.
All right.
Matter of fact, let me take a sip of water. All
right. Hey, guys, look, our cups don't match today. We're just being regular. Regular. We used to have matching mugs on every episode, and then for a while we were just dry. And now we have random cups.
I hear parts talking about
this is real life.
On a podcast with an ashy throat. So my philosophy for relationship is straightforward. Just a 3-step relationship structure that starts with your attraction to one another. Right? Attraction is the key to anybody trying to be with you. It's like, I need to find you attractive. And it's not always the, in matter of fact, it's generally not the same for men and women anyway. Men are more attracted to physical. Women are attracted to physical, but there can be other characteristics that can sway.
That can attract them.
That can attract mm-hmm. them, right? And can detract from physical nature.
Yep.
So many times and a lot of times a successful man can get away with more because he's successful. Women want security and they want to be taken care of in a certain fashion, right? Not all women, but generally women want to be taken care of and feel secure. So a man who is more successful or has the ability or is hardworking is more attractive to a woman than not. Mm-hmm. Obviously, right? For a man, it's generally physical, like 90%. Maybe not 90, right?
Off the bat,
right? They want her to have good qualities as well. They don't want her to just, if they actually want to have a long-lasting relationship, you want to have qualities that are reasonable. I want you to be a good mother. I want you to be nurturing. I want you to be sweet. That's one of the highest qualities of you. You've always been sweet. And I think that's one of the most ladylike qualities ever. Because a man generally can't be sweet without people thinking he's like sweet. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. right? But he can be sweet to a woman. But even that, they may not get that. But a woman can just be sweet. It's like one of the best qualities. Like
that is a feminine quality.
Right. It's very mm-hmm. feminine being like nice mm-hmm. and just pleasant. Whereas a man can't be nice or pleasant.
Okay. No.
Can't
yes,
be nice.
You can.
Can't be pleasant. Can't mm-hmm. be sweet. No. But that attraction is right there. Then you have the it's attraction. And then there is what's the other C? I can't remember right now. Chemistry.
Yeah.
There it is. It's chemistry. Right? I was thinking of a third one. But it's chemistry. Like, that is something that's so, like, anybody who's ever been in a relationship of any sorts where you don't have chemistry with a person, a friendship, anything, like, where you want to be friends with somebody and you just
it's
be
just
there,
not
just
happening.
Like, ugh, this is just horrible. Like, we ain't clicking.
Yep.
Like, ooh. Like,
I just brought this up earlier today.
Yeah. If you ain't clicking with the person, it's like, we don't need to be all together all the time.
And I feel like you typically know within a few minutes.
Probably,
like,
right?
I literally was just saying this earlier today. Yeah. We were at a birthday party, and I was saying to a friend of ours mm-hmm. that, like, she and I clicked immediately. Right. And most of the people in, like, my inner circle, we clicked immediately.
Yes.
There was no working up to it, or I warmed up to you. And I'm not saying that's not possible.
Yeah.
But typically, I'm not going to wind up being close to someone that I had to warm up to.
Right.
Because it's like, we just don't mesh in that way, and that's okay. I can like you, but...
That's interesting, because sometimes people pull back layers, mm-hmm. right? And then you kind of find out, like, oh, I didn't realize this about you.
True.
You're funny, or we have kind of like the same sense of humor or something. Mm-hmm. I think about me and Marquise, you know, we have this like innate, it's mm-hmm. like we're brothers, like mm-hmm. like we've been living with
Y'all
each
are
other.
Funny.
That was just funny. And I, you know, I've known him for a certain amount of time, but not like it would seem like we was in war together. Like, oh, he's in the military. Obviously they both were in the military and they've been to some war. Maybe
right.
It was Desert Storm. Right.
They bonded.
Yeah. But that chemistry is like, I can't explain how vital that is to having a long lasting relationship
mm-hmm. of any sort.
Of any sort. Mm-hmm. It's like, can you be in a room with this person all day long and be okay with that?
Yeah.
You know, and not be sitting here like out of your mind or bored or just like, oh, I wish I can get away from them. I like, mm-hmm. I've never felt that with you. Right. I've
Praise
always,
God.
You know, what a blessing. You know, I mean, not that we don't have our moments, right? We just want to be alone. But generally, I just, you know, We're like best. It's literally my best friend. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if it's your best friend, mm-hmm. go be with your best friend. Mm-hmm. Right? That's chemistry. Chemistry is vital. It's actually where I think a lot of things mess up, because that's where people get worn down. Mm-hmm. I think because being with the other person is not a joy to them. Mm. It's like it's more draining. It's draining. It's like a chore.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like they have a here you have I think they're sexy, like, oh, you're beautiful to me. You're good looking to me. We don't really click, but we are compatible. Mm-hmm. This is I believe where this is the people I believe that fall out of love.
Interesting.
Quote unquote, so to speak, right? Because it's not the compatible, because people who are compatible, they don't fall out of love. They have issues. They have irreconcilable differences, mm-hmm. right? People who aren't necessarily compatible have irreconcilable differences. People who don't have chemistry fall out of love.
Interesting.
Right. And yeah, that's an observation.
So I'm sorry, just to clarify. Mm-hmm. So you're saying you think people that have only chemistry and not compatibility
have irreconcilable differences. Those are the people that break up and say, we just couldn't get along.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, we couldn't agree on enough things. We're not compatible.
We're just too different.
Right? But the other people
that are compatible.
We're compatible, but we don't have chemistry. Now
you can make that work.
Right. You can make it work, but eventually it'll be like, I just don't like them like that.
I agree, because you can build chemistry. Yeah. That is something that can be built.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a desire to, but but
yeah.
You know, case in point, married at first sight couples. Oof, where the experts can't predict chemistry. They use, you know, whatever surveys and numbers and percentages and whatever statistics to judge compatibility.
Right.
And they're like, "Look, you guys are compatible. Uh-huh. You just have to decide to build chemistry."
Yeah. Yep.
Some of them have chemistry off the bat but are not compatible. Right. I think that proves your point so well.
Yeah.
Because some of them, who was tall guy? Tree. Alexis? So Tree. If y'all don't watch Married at First Sight, Tree and Alexis, they had chemistry
right
from the jump, but they were not compatible in the least bit, because he's like, I want to just chill at home. And she's like, I like to go out with my girls and I want to go out with you and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like he was super sensitive and she was super hard. And she didn't want a sensitive guy.
No.
They were not compatible
right
in what they wanted out of life and who they were as people. So that's very interesting.
I think
I think a lot of times people have chemistry in the beginning. You get real excited, like, ooh.
And you know what? And I'll throw in the caveat as well. I mean, I think attraction can also land in the same part as chemistry. Probably,
I agree.
Right?
And because, I think it can give you a false sense of chemistry.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. It can on that side.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when you're not necessarily, and this I feel like this only happens with women. Mm. Because I don't think men have it in them to be with somebody they don't find attractive.
Most men.
To be in a long-lasting relationship. I don't mean sex, like where, you know, you just want to, you know, have a one-night stand, or you just want to have somebody to have sex with here and there. I mean, like, oh, this is my girl or my woman or my soon-to-be or whatever. I don't feel like men can be in a relationship with someone they are not physically attracted to. Mm. Or they can't. Okay, well, here's deep. Here's something that's actually deep.
All right.
I don't know how deep it is, but I feel like a man, based off of his own self-worth, will adjust what he finds attractive.
Interesting.
And that sometimes you find a man who thinks somebody is necessarily attractive. It doesn't mean that they are not anything, or they are, right? Because everybody's beautiful to somebody, right? Yeah. But some people aren't necessarily that good looking. And a man will adjust that based off of his position in life, where he knows that he cannot offer certain things to certain people, and he'll find himself in a position. You ever seen a guy where he's like, how are they together?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, because he thinks that's what level he's on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Guys go for a step above always, or at least at their level. So if you see somebody who you think is under their level, it's because he thinks that it is his level or is above his level.
Interesting.
Yeah, self-esteem wise. Mm-hmm. And that's not to cast aspersions on anybody, right?
Right.
Because everybody's ugly to somebody. Not everybody. But most people, I'm ugly to somebody, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Not really. But I'm sexy to somebody. I'm not. Well, maybe I am. I probably am ugly to somebody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, everybody's. Well, not every. I don't want to say everybody, because there are people who are beautiful. And
it's kind of like a universal beauty. Yeah. Some people have universal beauty.
Some people have that. Mm-hmm. It's not that many people, right? Mm-hmm. But even them, somebody would just be annoying and be like, oh, well, they're not. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just like, let's cut the crap. All right. Like, let's cut the crap. All
right. Right.
Some supermodels are literally very beautiful, and let's not have arguments about it. It just is what it is. Okay?
Right.
All right. But that's chemistry. Chemistry is beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's the actual compatibility.
And that's what determines
right.
whether this can be a lifelong thing.
Yes.
Or this was fun for a time.
Depending on what the compatibility is.
Okay.
That's the issue, is that what needs to be compatibilized, that's a word, right? What needs to be changed in order to make us compatible? How heavy is it?
And are you willing to change it?
And specifically, are you willing to change it?
Yeah.
Because you start talking about kids,
mm-hmm.
where we're going to live,
mm-hmm.
how much we're going to make,
mm-hmm.
Religion,
yeah.
politics,
mercy.
Stuff like that. I mean, I can't imagine, because politics is not important to me like that. I mean, I guess it's important, but not to me. I can't imagine that being a thing. But children or religion, like, you know, I couldn't be with you if you were Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I haven't done that in the past. Which is funny.
I mean, you were so young, I feel like you can't even mention that.
That is true. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless. Yeah, that would be a major thing.
Was that even a conscious thing to you at that time?
Well, I didn't know.
Oh.
So,
but was it like off-putting when you found out? Like, because you were so young.
I was too in love. It didn't matter.
Right, but you were also very young.
Yes.
I don't feel like you had the conviction yet about that. Like, it probably didn't even matter to you at that time.
Probably not. But
yeah.
I was. But who's to say? Like, I don't know. But I probably
well,
not.
You
not
would
that I'm
know
grown.
If you were like, oh,
I'm
no.
too in love, right? I was way too in love to care about that. And I'm halfway not a Christian. No, I'm walking around cussing and carrying on. You know, I was a kid, so I was drawing.
Right.
Right. But that compatibility is the third step to the relationship. But in order for somebody to be the one, I think it has to take another step, which is spiritual.
Mm.
In that this person, or I'm going to say specifically she, because that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
She has to fit God's plan for my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a way that I can't.
Hmm.
Specifically. Because shall a man leave father and mother, cleave to his wife, right? There's something that he is leaving that he has to go to. Like, he's leaving something behind that's a part of his system, how his ideologies, his philosophies, his foundation has all been built here.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's leaving that and taking that with him to somebody else who has to, in certain sense, has to be able to do some of that.
Yeah.
But also be compatible enough to change him into something that makes us we.
Very good. It also makes me think of something, because we often talk about, like, you know, a woman leaving her father and that being her covering and having
right.
to go to another covering.
Right.
But, well, not having to, but it being most ideal for her to mm-hmm. go under another covering. But we don't often talk about a man leaving his mother.
Right.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What you just said just kind of triggered that thought for me
mm-hmm.
because... And but that's a conversation that comes up a lot, though, where it's like, he expects me to be his mom. And it's
yeah.
like, to a degree.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And not expects you to be his mom, expects you to be a woman.
Yes, to him. That's what I grew up thinking a woman was.
You know, so like, right. it's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. And that is certainly, and I would say father and mother, right, in certain respects.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
But certainly mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know. Literally, you're looking for someone. If you have a good mother, right?
Right, right.
Everybody doesn't have their relationship.
Right.
But if you have a good mother, you're looking for somebody who shares some of those qualities,
mm-hmm.
if not all of those qualities.
Right.
You know, like, you know, being sweet, being whatever that may be that you thought was a good thing you expect in her.
Yeah, that becomes attractive to
right.
you.
And so now, in God, I am leaving that foundation and that, you know, that grounding of this is what I expect a man to be, and I'm trying to be that, and this is what I expect a woman to be, and mm-hmm. I want her to be this.
Yeah.
And now I have to leave that and go find this.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to fit, literally, you actually have to be some part. You can't just be like the exact opposite of what I expect in a woman.
Right.
And in order for that to happen, somebody had to, you know, instill that, or life had to shape that. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's like God has to literally send this person, because like you have to fit that mold without even knowing that you have to fit the mold. You don't even know what the mold is.
Right. Yeah, because there's no cookie cutter situation.
It's not cookie cutter.
No.
It's no one size fits all. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I expect this from a woman, and God thinks some of this is reasonable. Mm-hmm. So now he says, okay, I have a girl. Her name's Chelsea. She's sweet. And, you know, I know you like that. She lives in Sicklerville, which is not far. I know you like that. But what we're going to do is I'm going to have... because when you really think back on how far back God will go to give you someone that you need or want, it's overwhelming when you actually think about it. To make you to be raised in a household with music, mm-hmm. to
You know, it starts early.
Yeah, it's like the music timeline that I took from the time I was 8 years old until the time I was 20 when I met you was shaped by God.
Yeah.
And with anything changing in the middle, because there was a time period where it was like, oh, well, I played the piano great at this place, and now this place does not exist anymore.
And how many times is that freaking
Times has that happened, right, in our lives, of course. But just in life, like, it's easy for somebody to be like, hey, well, you know, I'm going to be a musician. I'm going to meet somebody in my life as a musician, but I'm 8. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I'm leaving a place where I learned how to become a musician, and that doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, guess I'm not a musician anymore, because I'm going to go play soccer or basketball.
And just be a kid.
And so now our connection that's down here on the end of the line, it never happens. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, aside from God, like, fixing it somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And in certain respects, he did.
Yeah.
But for, right, you know, just musically and thinking all the things that surround it. And for me to, and that's why I've always, you know, given credit to Tunis, my good friend, that when he came to the church, mm-hmm. he was, like, young and
cool.
I don't want to say cool.
Hip. That's what it is.
He was hip. Yeah, it's funny. I don't even remember what year it was. Early 2000s. But he was cooler than anybody else in there. Mm-hmm. And he's playing stuff that's different. I've never heard. I'm like, oh, you know, maybe you could show me that. Mm-hmm. And he would show me some stuff, and I was learning. I was like, oh man, like, this is cool. And it reintroduces. Mm-hmm. And it rebuilds.
Were you still playing drums?
I wasn't even playing drums at the time.
Really?
No, wow. I was just a kid.
When did you start playing drums?
12-ish, maybe.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. One day I sat down at the drums. This is very funny. I sat down in sixth grade. They had a drum set up there, and they was asking people to go up there and play. Like, let's see if you can do this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I probably can do that. And I go up there, and I did. It was something simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that little first joint. I can do that, too.
And they was like, oh, yeah, he did that. I don't think they were excited. But I do that, and that was the only time I ever played drums in my life.
Wow.
And years later, when Tunis and whatever little choir we had, we were going away to a church in Delaware that had a drum set. And I was just like, I mean, I probably could play the drums. Mm-hmm. Went over there. I just played the drums.
Yeah.
Horrible. I'm sure it was terrible. But it was good enough to play drums and be like, oh, I guess I could play the drums. I know I probably was dragging. I had to be dragging everything.
Especially
Chelsea.
Little kids. I feel like you don't even have the strength to keep up. Like, you kind of naturally are just like, all right, fatigue.
Yes, up there.
And my arms are short. And
but that's nobody but God. Mm-hmm. Because now from there, like, there was no drums at Hopewell.
Mm, really?
Literally, there was no drums there.
You know what? You told me that before, but I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when the church was just a rectangle.
Right.
And there was the choir box. Yeah. It was two choir boxes. One where nobody actually sat.
That's still there, right?
Still there.
Yeah.
Pulpit in the middle. And on the right was where the choir would be. It was rarely that many people in there. And the piano that's on the left side was on the right side. Upright. Mm-hmm. Just play it and sing. People see you, sing. Mm-hmm. On the other side, nothing. Mm-hmm. Just some plants and the table, something.
Oh, wow.
And they said, well, if he can play the drums, I guess we should get a drum set.
Wow.
I said, well, I guess I'm playing drums. I was just happy not to have to sing in the choir no more. Let me go sit down somewhere. Jeez. Sick of being up here. Though I'm a child and I may not know very much.
Because that has to be what you're singing.
I know the word of God is true. Yes. Yeah. Read the Bible.
Best part.
Oh, Lord. Horrible times.
You must serve my Jesus.
From the inside out.
Oh,
yeah. Inside. People up there. That's back in time. Oh, the best of times, the worst of times. Oh my gosh, horrible experiences. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just glad. And I was playing drums. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the line, I went back to playing keys and learning and growing.
Wow.
And just, you know, God putting people in place and putting the steps in order. That's the final step. Like, is she the one? Yeah, if she fits the purpose. And let's say, and I would say, if I fit her purpose as well.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know what that looks like so much from me to you or from you looking at me. Mm-hmm. But I know me looking at you is like, yeah, she needs to be certain things. When I think about how you are with the children and, you know, just the fact that I don't want to talk about certain things and you refuse to not talk about certain things. Mm-hmm. And that's the key. And that's not really a quality that you find from like someone who is like sweet necessarily. And if you're that person who thinks they're sweet but you still like to talk, whatever, all right, fine, great. But she's not combative. Mm-hmm. Right, she's never been combative, she's not argumentative. Mm-hmm. But when things bother her, she's going to talk about it.
It's true,
right? It's literally I've told you, it's probably one of the best qualities you have. I don't always like it, but I know it's necessary. Mm-hmm. And it's good for a relationship. Mm-hmm. So when we have a problem, I know you'll bring it up even if I don't. Mm-hmm. Because I can be like, yeah, I know there was a problem. Yeah, we'll get over it.
Right.
Not Chelsea. Nah, no. That's not how she functions. Like, when I think about how you are with the kids, how patient you are, I'm not that way at all. And you don't think you are.
No, listen, I don't.
In comparison to me, please. Please. I'm a stranger in comparison to you. I'm just some dude watching these kids. Like, listen, y'all need to sit down and be quiet. I don't want to hear it, yo. But we're hungry. What does that have to do with me?
Okay.
It sounds like a personal problem, bro.
Terrible.
Like, go get some food. Why are you asking?
Right, why don't you go get it?
Yeah. Just all your qualities of a woman, they fit what I need in a wife.
Praise God.
And that's how I know you're the one, because we fit together in a way that's prosperous. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like the Hebrew definition of prosperity is to move forward. Mm-hmm. It's actually like one of the first definitions of it, that is progressing. Mm-hmm. And we know that we're not perfect, but we're always progressing.
I'm sorry. You said it was the word for what?
Prosperity.
Prosperity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In that law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in due season, something like that, mm-hmm. and whose leaf does not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Mm-hmm. That goes for my marriage, goes for my job, whatever it is. Right. Whatever I'm doing should be pushing forward and progressing. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of knowing, is this actually the one? It's like, are we together, but are we not progressing? Mm. Like, are we kind of just going through the motions? Mm-hmm. Like, no, we're growing stronger. We're growing deeper in love. You know, right. I find myself, you know, just, you know, desiring you, you know.
Interesting.
Not even just loins, right. You know, but just as a person.
Yeah. Well, you were making me think of in Genesis when God said it's not good for man to be alone. I will create a helper mm-hmm. I will make a helpmeet for him.
Yes.
And I'm on Got Questions right now. It says meet in this context is an adjective that means suitable. Mm-hmm. So a help that is suitable for him.
Yes.
You need suitable help. Mm-hmm. A lot of people can try to help you. mm-hmm. But if it's not, I'm even modern translations render the phrase in Genesis 2:18 as a helper fit for him.
Yeah.
A helper suitable for him, or a helper comparable to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like you said last week that helped me met counselor.
Yeah, I have seen some people say mm-hmm. that the Hebrew word kind of indicated that it would be something like that.
Is that Genesis 2:18?
Yes. So some people say that, like, you know, the word for the Holy Spirit being our helper mm-hmm. is comparable to the Hebrew word mm-hmm. for help meet. Oh. Yeah.
Interesting.
But both being a reflection of, you know, God being our help.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Cool. So, yeah. How do you know she's the one? Are you attracted to her? Do you have chemistry with her? Are you compatible with her? And is she suitable for your life's purpose in mm-hmm. God? Yeah. I think number four is, honestly, crazy enough, is just based off of my experience. I mean, we didn't, you know, find each other. So it's like almost God found us for each other.
Amen.
Like, we weren't necessarily looking for each other. We just,
no.
Here we go. Popped up. And so I would say that's really, I want to say that's an easier step mm-hmm. than the first. Attraction is easy. Chemistry, really everything is supposed to be, maybe that's how you know, like, when it's easy.
I do wonder when people say it was, like, really hard for them to get together, or they were, like, not sure how the other person was feeling, or mm-hmm. like, yeah, like, if it's like this whole thing where it's just like, yeah, and then, you know, but we wound up together down the line, you know, I'm just like, well, why didn't y'all just
get together?
That's confusing to me. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's impossible, mm-hmm. but it's odd.
It's odd. Yeah.
It's odd because it's odd. Like, why didn't y'all hit it off in the first place?
That's a great question.
Unless someone's just being stubborn or just not where the Lord would have them be yet.
Yeah, that happens,
I don't know.
Certainly.
That can happen.
Yeah. But what is Titus say about a woman?
All right.
What does she say? What does he say about her?
Yeah. So Titus chapter 2. Let me go back to the King James. Titus 2, starting at verse 3, is verse 3 through verse 5. The aged woman likewise, which just means older women, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's strong language right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it really made me think, because I'm like, I really think, I was just watching a video earlier, a woman who's a homemaker. She was trying to encourage other Christian women who are homemakers. And she was saying, she read from the same scripture, and she was saying that, like, you know, like, God's plan, God's will, and, like, just the perception of God and his ability to, like, move freely,
mm-hmm.
you know, is kind of, like, on the line mm-hmm. with our obedience.
Yeah.
And, but, like, with the whole feminism movement, it gets a little hairy, because it's like, okay, God himself was never saying that we are unequal, that we are not equals, or that we are not, that women shouldn't work, that women don't have any other purpose other than being a wife and a mom. He didn't say anything like that. But, you know, there's, like, a clear indication in the Bible that it's a priority, that home mm-hmm. and the immediate family in your home, the members of your household, should be your priority as the woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what happens is when we start going away from, I think that in the fight for equality, and you mentioned this before, where it's like when the roles don't go right, like when you abuse,
mm-hmm.
you know, what God has given you.
Right.
You know, so, like, as men, a lot of men abused the position that they were in,
yeah.
you know, and made it seem like a bad thing and like a harmful thing. And it's really not. When you do things the way that God designed it, it's a beautiful thing and it's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do not do it the way God has instructed us to, you know, then it gets all out of whack, and then people kind of stray and want to do it differently, but then you're messing up God's order for everything.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, God is like, well, this was still the best way.
Yeah, it is.
And now I got to work around your deviations.
Right.
You know? And but, like, for it to literally say that the word of God not be blasphemed.
Right.
That you don't literally go against mm-hmm. the word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, he's saying like, this is what I'm telling y'all to do. And if you don't do it, you're going, you're blaspheming me. Mm-hmm. That's a little rough, but anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did you have anything you wanted to say about that? I was going to go through the points that I drew out of it.
I mean, other than, you know, a lot of times we don't necessarily think about, we don't always think about the effects of what we do and how they affect how God is perceived.
Yeah.
But we should.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's actually a sign of maturity in the Christian mm-hmm. life, is to understand that everything you do, some things isn't necessarily bad, right? Mm-hmm. But some things just aren't what God would have you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think about this. They said the same thing with David, where, you know, he was, you know, when he had the issue with Bathsheba. I said the issue with Bathsheba, his adultery, his adultery. And God said, you've given great occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme him.
Yeah.
To make a mockery of him.
Yeah.
Oh, this is your child.
Mm-hmm.
The adulterer king. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. This is your husband. This is your wife. Oh, this is a marriage, huh? Okay. She's taking care of him.
Wow.
He's home
mm-hmm.
watching the kids.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. And, you know, there are different scenarios. There are different, you know, reasons as to why that's not always the case. But, yeah, it just, but you should, when you can, mm-hmm. do it God's way. Well. And when I say that, I mean, because, like, I'm not saying when you can do it God's way. That came out horribly.
It did.
What I really mean, what I really mean is that that way may look a little different for you. But you should always, whatever your situation is that you're in, you should always want to be Holy Spirit led and want to be right in accordance with the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads to, so I drew 8 points out of that passage of scripture. And number one is she strives to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off by saying that they be in behavior as becometh holiness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to a new translation now that I read that one.
Yeah.
I'm in the NIV now. Reverent in the way they live. Some other translations were saying holy as well. But mm-hmm. holy means to be set apart, undefiled, in the will of God,
mm-hmm.
and exhibiting the character of God. So no one is holy, but God has commanded us in scripture, be holy as I am holy.
Mm.
It's not that you are holy, it's that you're striving to be holy.
Mm.
You know, so you want to be with someone who is striving to be holy. Number two, honest. Right after that, it says not to be slanderers.
Gossipers.
Yes. Not so I also have his number three. So I have honest because mm-hmm. in some of the translations, it was saying not to be like slandering against others. You don't want to be telling lies about other people.
Mm-hmm.
You want someone who's honest. And number three, not a troublemaker or a gossiper. That's not a Christian characteristic, period. Forget a feminine or wife material.
<Yeah.
laughs> Just you should not want to be with someone who's making trouble or always gossiping about other people.
Mm-hmm.
Moving right along. Number four, self-disciplined. It talks about not being addicted to much wine.
Mm.
But I would say also, you know, just not having an addictive personality in general. You know, okay. I think it's a good character to have. Well, it really just points to self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says be not drunk with wine wherein is excess.
Yeah.
So it's not that you can't drink, but if you can't control yourself,
mm-hmm.
that's really the essence of the issue. You want to be mm-hmm. with someone who has some self-discipline. Of course, all these things come through the power of the Holy Spirit, which leads us to say you want to be with someone who's saved.
Certainly.
Who has the Holy Spirit to even be able to help them to carry these things out, because in and of ourselves we're not able.
Baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Meaning having the power. You know, Amen. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives you the power.
Amen.
To do those things.
For sure. Number five, she is wise and she offers wisdom.
Wow.
It says they're teachers. They're teaching the younger women.
Yeah.
Right after saying addicted to much wine, it says, but to teach what is good.
Right.
And then right after, then it says they can urge the younger women to all the following things.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually should be people who are not only exhibiting these things, but mm-hmm. able to teach these things to others.
And doing so.
Right. Yeah, you can't talk the talk and not walk the walk.
Well, I mean, actually, because, you know, actually sharing with the younger
women. Oh, for sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it almost speaks to, well, literally would speak to mentorship in some, yeah, in some fashion.
Yeah.
Like, you should have somebody up under you, or at least be trying to share. Yeah. You
know? That's true. Very true. But also, when we go back to the helpmeet, mm-hmm, if we're a helpmeet to our husband, you want to be with some, like, a man should want to be with a woman who is wise. And you can see that wisdom in the way that she operates in her own life. You know, if you see her making a bunch of unwise choices, because wisdom is really just making good choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because knowledge, you can have knowledge without wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So you can know what to do and not do it. But a wise person is going to, I mean, the Bible also says a wise woman builds up her house, but a foolish woman tears it down.
Yeah.
You know, like, so wisdom is making the right choices. And, you know, and that also just kind of is an umbrella where under would be the self-discipline and the, you know, love and, mm-hmm, selflessness and giving and teaching and all of that. But you would want someone who has wisdom, because as your wife, you're partners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you want someone where she's not going to be like, oh, I don't want to do that. I know we should do that, but I don't want to. And like you said, combative,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, just like unrestrained.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to go shopping. I don't care if we need to. I don't want to save. I don't want to.
Yeah, I want to be not homeless.
Right.
Let's be homeless.
But also where you can come to her and say, hey, I'm going through XYZ, and maybe she can offer you,
right,
some wise counsel.
True.
Yeah. Amen. Number six, she will love you and your children. I have in parentheses unselfishly, because that's what love is. Love is sacrificial.
Amen.
You give up your life.
Amen.
That's the greatest show of love. Amen. And I got that from verse 4. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children.
Yes.
And in verse 5, it says to be self-controlled, which I tied that in with the not being drunk with too much wine.
Mm.
Then it says, and pure. So, number 7, she strives to be pure, not only sexually, but in all consumption.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to be with somebody who's listening to crazy music and watching crazy shows and, you know, like around crazy people, mm-hmm, you know, and consuming all these negative things into herself, you know, for out of the abundance of the heart,
mm-hmm,
the mouth speaks, and just flow the issues of life. So you gotta, you know, you gotta watch what you consume.
Yeah.
And so not only should you not be letting things in physically, you know, that also counts spiritually and mentally and emotionally and all those good things. But I say she strives.
Yeah.
She strives to be pure. No one is perfect.
Yeah.
But it should be her intention.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8, willing to live according to God's design.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, it goes into being busy at home, mm-hmm, being kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God or, mm-hmm, blaspheme the word of God. So I've said this a billion times, but it's really just what I believe. And the best way I know to say it is that God is so merciful and gracious that he will bless us in spite, mm-hmm, of our deviations from his will and his plan.
Mm-hmm.
But he can bless you best and most when you're in line with his will.
Yeah.
And he wants what's best for you. And he's like, I'm trying to tell you what to do so I can really pour it all out on you, you know, but you're limiting what I can give you,
mm-hmm,
and how I can use you by not being in line with my word and with my will.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that the most important thing, which I feel like the last one ties in with the first one, that she strives to be holy. If you strive to be holy, you strive to, you know, live according to God's plan for your life.
Mm-hmm.
You want someone who's willing to be a worker in the home, willing to do good to others,
mm-hmm,
and make that her business.
Certainly.
And submissive to her husband.
Absolutely.
If you're with someone who doesn't want those things and you're a believer,
it's gonna be a
that's
struggle.
Problematic.
It will be a struggle. Yeah. It's a lot of things. I mean, it's actually a good list. Great list.
Praise the Lord.
So at the end of the day, someone whose life is yielded to the Lord.
That's it.
And to Christ, because it allows them, it actually gives them freedom to do something that they cannot do in their own strength.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit shall, you know, he's the helper.
Mm-hmm.
He's to help you to get through. He's also to help guide you into more truth. Amen. Of God, that you know, and the truth of God is, you know, grace, mercy, love, long suffering, mm-hmm. all the fruit of the Spirit that comes with the Holy Spirit. He's trying to lead you into that and more of it.
Amen.
Right. So that helps her and him and everybody in the scenario to love more than they would be able to do in their own strength. And now she can be unselfish and he can be unselfish. And
amen.
You can love each other past getting on each other's nerves and past compatibility. God can, that's the crazy thing, is God can make you anything.
Yeah. Right?
He can make you. But the hard part is getting to the making, mm-hmm. because sometimes you're, you know, in the beginning or wherever you are in your life is not necessarily yielded to the Lord in a manner in which he can use you the way he wants to. But once you become yielded with man,
it is impossible.
But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Amen.
I do want to also just submit that when it talks about being workers in the home and, you know, being submissive to your husband, loving your husband and your children and all of that, I do just still want to clarify that we're not saying that you can only work in the home.
Sure.
It's just that that is your priority.
Yeah.
And I see, unfortunately, and once again, I'm not talking about like single moms. Right. I'm not talking about women with unsaved husbands or husbands that are just totally opposed to, you know, I'm not talking to, you know, those types of circumstances, but I'm talking about a couple, mm-hmm. you know, where both of you ideally are striving to be yielded to the Lord. You know, so in that situation, it would be harmful to have a wife who is prioritizing, where basically home and the husband and the children are working around mm-hmm. your work.
Right.
Rather than your work working around the husband and the children in the home. Mm-hmm. So in an ideal situation, you know, that's really what's best. And the reason for that is that we can't both do that.
No.
So it's like home mm-hmm. and the relationship
yes.
and the children wind up getting neglected yeah. because now neither party, right. if we're both, you know, because reality is the husband has to at all costs provide.
Yeah.
So you actually do have to kind of work us around your work.
Yeah, a lot of ways.
Anyway. In a lot of yeah. ways. You know, to a reasonable extent. Mm. Not to where, like, you know, where God would actually be like, okay, now you're not being loving. Mm-hmm. Now you're not, you know. but to an extent, though, it's like your priority is working. Because, you know, God has instructed you to provide. Mm-hmm. If both of our priority is working, things are falling to shambles.
Yeah.
And people, I think, really don't want to face that we both can't be prioritizing career, prioritizing mm-hmm. work, and then everything else just kind of has to, like, fit in there somehow.
You don't even get me started on that. It's already hard enough to prioritize the Lord and have to work a job.
My God.
It's like,
and both of us have to prioritize the Lord.
Right.
It's a lot.
And you know, women are literally made for being able to run the home in a manner that God would have them to do. Like your nature mm-hmm. is that mm-hmm. you are the nurturing. Houses and homes need nurturing. Mm-hmm. They need someone to really care mm-hmm. and have like the emotional capacity to love it.
Yeah.
You know, men. Jesus, you cannot. And I ain't talking about single fathers, because the truth is, they said right. statistically that a single father can raise a family to be like just about as successful mm-hmm. as a two parent home. Mm-hmm. A single woman cannot.
Interesting.
Most of the time. I'm not saying everybody.
With God, all things are possible.
Certainly.
Sometimes, right? If you're already in that situation, the Lord can still work it out.
Yeah, he can. But mm-hmm. statistically, it's just a struggle because there's something that's missing in the home.
Yeah.
It's not the woman, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, but imagine she wasn't in the home. Mm-hmm. So he should. And then again, maybe that's part of it, right? Because when you're a single parent, you can't really be in the home the way you need to be. But as a man, if he's single, his job isn't really to be in the home already. Mm. So it's kind of an odd thing, right? Like he can kind of, they can kind of get over it. It's very, that's a very odd thing.
Because it's not something they expect right. from them or and need from them.
Right. I guess maybe it's just, it's not something that they need from the man. Mm-hmm. And it's not something he can do his best, but he won't be able to do it like a woman.
And that's the, yeah, but at the same time, I think on both ends, with the Lord, all things are possible. So mm-hmm. you can, the Lord is able to help you adapt.
He is.
You know, and even people who aren't in the Lord, they're able to adapt. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be as efficient. No. It's just not. But the Lord is able to like fill in those gaps, you know, and people, if they're intentional enough, are able to try to have a more well-rounded, balanced approach.
Yeah.
But there's an awareness there that needs to be, you have to be super intentional mm-hmm. to be what you typically would not be.
Right.
To make sure that balance is there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Take time, please. You can subscribe and share to the Better Than One Marriage podcast. We're here to help young marriages, old marriages, whatever marriage advice we can get. In a solid 8 years, we love each other, still happy, still still really grateful, still excited to relate.
You're still the one.
Still the one. You're the one. You're the one for me.
We weren't, that wasn't one accord.
It was not. Well, that's the one I was singing earlier.
Still the one I want. To the one that I belong.
No, that ain't the one.
You're still the one.
That's the one right there. Still the one.
Oh, God.
Still
the one. No, that's not it.
And you still. That's the one right there.
That's fine.
Other than Dondra, that was her one hit. You're the one for me. You're the one. That was a hit. But yeah, go ahead and subscribe to the Better Than One Marriage podcast and do what you got to do. Give it a like, share. If it's for you, it's for you. If it's for someone else, let it be. All right, I love you, my love.
I love you too.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.